When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Come on.
Spending too much time on social? Is your daily screen time over 2 hours? Are you a little bit overweight? Not saving enough money? Any or all of these are familiar. Strive could be for you. The Strive 2-week online bootcamp will help you to detox your mind, body, and money, getting you on your way to a happier, healthier, wealthier, and more confident life. Go to strivedetox.com, strivedetox.com, and get your mind, body, and money right. The strong, the powerful Justin Gray, CEO of LeadMD, the most successful full-service performance consultancy, the principal at Gray Matter Ventures, and a partner at Grayson Organics. He's also a weekly columnist for Inc. magazine, is here on Money Savage Create. Welcome, Justin.
Strength, power. Love it.
Tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Oh, yeah. Big topics all around. So I'll start with the easiest one, which is the most straightforward, which is my personal life. So I am married. I have a beautiful wife named Jen. We just had our second child 4 weeks ago, which is a girl named Declan. And then I've got a 2.5-year-old boy named Grayson. So definitely, everything that all the stereotypes in terms of work-life balance and making time for people, I struggle with all the same stuff there. I have been running a digital marketing consultancy, as you mentioned, LeadMD, for a decade now. Over the course of that time, I've sold 4 other businesses in varying different spaces, primarily payments and logistics on the software side and the processing side. Have a new venture called Grayson Organics, which you mentioned as well, which is our organic hemp farm. It's currently an organic farm, but we're transitioning that into hemp with the 2018 Farm Bill and everything that that's opened the door for. And then I try to do some venture, early stage investing, really on the side right now, but hoping to kind of gear that up more in 19 and or as we round out 19 and 2020 and so on. So that normally keeps my plate pretty full between those different ventures. And what was your last item? How I came to be, how I was manifested?
What the meaning of life is now? The
meaning of life. Yes.
The last one is why it is that you're doing all these things.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, and you get the question all the time, like, hey, if you sold X or you weren't able to do this any longer, what would you do? Like, that's like, I kind of do whatever I like doing, whatever I'm interested in. So when I kind of had my big event, which is cashing in a large amount of equity within a company that I got involved with in the early stages, I kind of, thought I was going to take some time off. I ended up taking just under 2 weeks off and started forming companies. And they were all areas and spaces that I was super interested in and was excited about, and I've continued to do so. So I think it's really just, am I excited to wake up in the morning, and is there a new idea that comes along that I want to be a part of? And that's about as scientific as my process gets.
I like it. Fair enough. So on your LinkedIn profile, it said, I love what people can become. and wanted to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. I mean, that was a transformative moment in my life, right? Like, so I went to school like a good boy should and graduated with a degree in marketing and got a bunch of jobs that I hated, and then got an awesome opportunity to come on, you know, within a startup, which this was 2006, you know, the whole entrepreneurship, you know, startup romanticism hadn't really taken root or wasn't a big topic at that point. And so I kind of, you know, took this leap of faith and kind of felt like, oh, wow, this is where everyone's been hiding. This is, you know, it's what I wanted to do. I didn't want to be kind of pigeonholed into a certain area of the business and go through all this bureaucracy and so on. So it was kind of that springboard moment for me. And I'm looking to provide that same moment for as many people as possible.
Oh, I appreciate that. And I also talked about how you're focused on building hyper-focused teams. What does that mean?
Yeah, for me, the more everyone can have a connection back to things that actually matter, and you say things like that, and it's like, yeah, that seems super straightforward, but the majority of teams that I've seen and you know, departments and goals that are set forth are actually focused on something that is, you know, hyper distilled down that people feel like gives them focus, right? Like, hey, drive this metric, and then we'll worry about connecting that to B, C, D, and so on and so forth, right? But I love the notion of pulling back, you know, providing transparency into what is it that we're really doing? Like, how can you affect that critical goal or that critical objective? And I find that if you do that successfully, which is incredibly hard to do, but if you do it successfully, people become hyper-focused around, you know, meeting that challenge. They rise to that occasion. I think, you know, so often we tend to assume that people are, you know, not capable of making the jump and kind of connecting the dots themselves. And that may very well be the case if you're not hiring right. But if you really have honed in on the types of folks that you want to surround yourself with, the types of people that you need to amplify teams, I find that it does work. And we've done that over and over again, certainly at LeadMD, where, you know, delivery teams, you know, consultants are focused on top line revenue and profitability and creating MRR and ARR revenue types. And normally you would see them like just focus on billable hours, for instance. You know, it's a big example within consulting. And, you know, they've risen to that occasion, and I think they enjoy that transparency, and it's just created a ton of focus. So I love making goals, you know, hyper transparent and creating the focus in that manner.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that very much. So what are you focused on? Do you have daily essentials that you know you need to take care of?
Yeah, I've got, you know, big tenets of the business that, you know, are the best use of my time. And then the rest of my time goes to where it's most needed, right? Like, I wish I could only focus on the areas that I'm best equipped for. But when you're running a business and you're active within that business, like the founder tends to kind of, you know, I picture like, you know, that cartoon where the dam's kind of spring leaks and you know, pull gum and thumbs and things like that. I mean, that is largely, you know, a good chunk of what happens, right? Like, you got to keep things flowing. You got to keep things on the rails. But what I'm really good at and what I get the best scalable returns from is evangelizing this business. And so, like, if I'm able to go out to, like, I just got back from Adobe's worldwide sales conference, and the fruit that will bear from, you know, having conversations with everyone from, you know, the global head of professional services over there to the frontline sales rep, right? Like, just having those conversations, explaining the value of what we do, the results that we're driving for our joint customers together, like, that will bear so much fruit. So any time I can get out and evangelize on the part of LeadMD, whether it's thought leadership, whether it's just conversations like that, really, you know, it is a good investment of my time. At the same time, we mentioned content creation kind of in the intro. You know, digital marketing and kind of where it's at from a maturity standpoint has transformed radically within the last decade. And I'm proud to say that we've been a part of that message and really driving what that evolution should look like. So the more we can get people focused on the right things and asking the right questions, the more of a potential market share that creates for us. So, you know, thought leadership and evangelism is you know, are two big focuses of mine.
Got it. I appreciate that. And then to your point of making sure that the entire dam does not come collapsing down yep. and destroy the city below. So,
so never.
Yeah. So are there certain areas that you're responsible for that you're extremely satisfied with? And are there areas that you say, okay, I really need to pick it up in these areas?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of my biggest flaws is the fact that I'm never really happy with anything from a maturity standpoint, right? Like, I'm always looking to see how can we make this better. In that way, I think we're kind of a perpetual startup, certainly at LeadMD. But there are areas of the business where the constraint is always going to shift, right? Like, is that area of the business, you know, is it playing catch up at that point? And I think at this point within our kind of growth curve, our maturity, we've started taking on different types of projects. We've expanded, you know, where we're focusing. It used to be just, you know, kind of digital marketing campaigning and system integration and building tech stacks. And now we're really going out and asking big fundamental questions like, you know, do you know who your ideal buyer is? And let's go do these big market research projects to confirm that. And let's inform really the business strategy through marketing, which is normally the exact opposite that would happen. Your business strategy would be put together, and then you try to figure out how marketing is going to, you know, enable that. I think we're challenging some of those norms, and that's really exciting. So anytime where that happens, you know, delivering primarily from a staffing perspective, is going to become a main focus. So right now, recruiting and getting, you know, really, really smart people in seats to scale and deliver the types of work that we want to be delivering, you know, in 3 to 18 months, is really where the constraint in our business is. And some of that's location, but a lot of it's just that this talent is not prevalent out there as well.
Got it. Are there certain things that you had to stop doing, walk away from, in order to continue on your trajectory and to actually get to the places that you really wanted to go?
Yeah, I think, you know, everyone talks about tactics and, you know, not getting too far in the weeds. And it really is true in that regard. I'm an incredibly pragmatic person. Like, I want to know what is the solution to that. I want to get it in motion very quickly and kind of hop in off of myself and kind of take the bull by the horns in that respect. And although that may be fulfilling for me, I mean, I know it's fulfilling for me. It's less fulfilling for the people around you that you're trying to get to step up to the plate and solve those types of problems. So jumping in, I mean, talking less, you know, letting people understand, you know, or come to the solution themselves. That's a really painful exercise for, I think, most entrepreneurs, because they just want to get things done quickly and move on. And, you know, what's the opportunity cost that we're giving up by letting everyone kind of chew on this for hours or days or weeks or whatever? But it really does yield huge results. So not jumping in and solutioning myself is definitely what I've had to give up, but is also just a constant challenge and something that I always deal with.
When did that light bulb come on? It sounds like just through the maturation process, you sort of realized that.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, you hit a kind of the point where the company becomes a real company. You know what I mean? For us, that was probably, you know, 10 employees, you know, to where you really have to get intentional about every motion that you're doing throughout the day. And no longer is it kind of like get everyone in a room and have a conversation about something. It's not feasible any longer. So as we've scaled up to, you know, 50 employees now at this point, I think that 10 employee range was certainly something where if we don't want to have to solve for this every single day, we're going to have to create some scalability there. And so I think that was really the point where not only, you know, we had to design roles more intentionally, and certainly I had to fall in line with that design.
Got it. Yeah, designing roles more intentionally, and you're part of that as well. So
yeah, and that's a difficult, you know, again, that's a founder trap, right? Like, it's you know, do as I say, not as I do. And I think unless you're walking that walk, it's you're not going to be giving off the message that you want to send, and you're not going to be building the culture that you want to build.
That culture piece is I think we've all been part of an organization group that's had great culture, and then we've all been part of an organization group that has crappy culture. How responsible is each employee to that or for that?
Yeah, I think that's a huge shared responsibility, you know, for everyone that walks into those doors and says, hey, I want to be a part of this. It has to be, I think, number one, you have to understand what culture you're trying to create. And the great teams that I've been a part of have always been focused around solving, you know, what they feel like is a really important problem. They see their connection to it. They see what solving that problem is going to yield for, you know, the customer, the world, the, you know, the market, whatever that, you know, that focus is. And they see that their personal growth is going to be connected to solving that problem as well. And so, you know, even for companies that go out and say, hey, I want to, you know, build the latest widget to solve for this issue, you know, unless you've made that connection in all those different areas, I think it's really difficult to have a really strong culture around it. But once you have, everyone bears, you know, a responsibility for that. Like, we bear that responsibility certainly in hiring, and, you know, our number one source for new talent is referral. It is, you know, folks that work here or work at a partner company or a customer company, and they see what we're doing and they want to send their friend over. You have to get really well defined around that profile that you're looking for and the traits of those individuals. And then you have to steward it every single day. And that's the most difficult part. You know, it's all about recognizing if someone is kind of, you know, losing that focus or, you know, and understanding how you want to respond to that. You know, not only like, yeah, we want to get you back on track. But the thing that people don't think about in terms of culture is, well, what if that's not solvable? What if you've just, you know, grown into a different person, or you've got other priorities that have come up in your life? Like, how are you going to respond to those situations? I think is the biggest steward or creator of culture out there, because you can either choose to help that person kind of find their next venture, or you can say, screw you. You know what I mean? You're not focused on what we're focused on. Get out of here. And you know, these days people are definitely looking to enter properly and exit properly. And I think both the employee and the employer bear a super important role in that equation. But I do think it's the employer's role to set the tone for what they want to see.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that. And it's so important to in your words, steward it every day. And that's true of culture and certainly of mindset, and that's like the leader of the company and the employee and how you want to show up and the role that you want to play. How conscious are you of your self-talk?
I try to be incredibly intentional with everything that I do, but the biggest you know, conflict to recognize there is, you know, if we were all 100% self-aware and knew exactly how our actions and words were translating, you know, it would be a much better world, but that's never going to happen. So for me, it's, you know, number one, creating the charge of the teams that I hold very close to me, which are largely my department heads, and giving them the freedom to provide unchecked and unfiltered feedback, and knowing that that's not going to impact, you know, our relationship or their job or their, you know, like their financial stability and so on. I think you have to create that trust and you know, demonstrate that you're true to your word in that regard. So I think feedback loops are probably the most important aspect that I would cite there. And we just got done with a leadership training session that we did at the end of 19 here, all focused on how to provide feedback that other people can hear, because I think certainly we have a culture where feedback is prevalent, but when you're getting negative feedback, still, I mean, everyone's first response is to shut down and not even hear what's coming next. And so, you know, we put a large degree of focus on just how to best deliver that so someone else can hear it, and then once they've heard it, you know, you can solution together and actually put that feedback into motion.
Providing feedback that people can hear, that's a very profound statement right there, because you can give the greatest piece of feedback, the most valuable thing in the world, but if it bounces right off of them or makes them grind their teeth and want to punch you, then that's a total waste of time. So, I mean, that's...
Yeah, I don't even know if you can get, you know, everyone says like, oh, I want to be open to feedback, but if it's something negative and it's something like truly like, hey, you just said something that was completely wrong, your innate response is going to be to challenge that or to well, give me an example, right? Like, I want to know who said that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's just human nature. And so it's less about like, oh, so-and-so doesn't take feedback well, and more about no one takes negative feedback well. Like, we just don't respond to that really well. So how can we frame this up so you're going to be able to hear it? And then, you know, over time, it does get easier. But I think it's just human nature.
Yeah, well, I think 100% is human nature. And I know that that's something I try, to your point. You know, I think that we all want to be self-aware and we try, but there are unconscious biases that affect all of us, and we, unless we're accustomed to it, do not want negative feedback because it hurts, it's uncomfortable. How have you gotten better at that?
Yeah, I think it's just making feedback a part of your regular routine. Like, okay. I've got meetings on the calendar where literally it's like, hey, this is a feedback session. Like, give me, like, you know, hey, these are the important things that, as I see them. How did I do in those situations? And then tell me, like, what am I missing? What else happened? And I think it's so interesting to get those insights, because still oftentimes, like, what I viewed as something that was just, you know, a comment that was made amongst friends, and, you know, it really didn't mean a whole bunch. You don't realize how powerful words are in those settings, whether you've got new employees there, or you've got someone that's new to a role or has something going on in their personal life. They took what you said differently. And, you know, quite frankly, that's the pinnacle of success in my mind, which is, you know, are you able to empower the people around you effectively? And if something's standing in the way of that, I want to change it. And so I think just being really intentional and scheduling those types of sessions. Also, like, my big thing is I prefer the immediacy of feedback, even if that is painful and you know, sometimes it can be not appropriate as well. Like, hey, wait till the meeting adjourns and you know, lay into me. But, you know, creating that trust that, hey, no matter what you share with me, it's going to be shared in confidence and I'm not going to blow up around it. I think that's just critical. So, you know, the frequency and the trust element are huge there.
Yeah. Yeah. Being intentional about it and having the expectation out there that, hey, we're going to be talking about and you're going to be giving me feedback. I'm going to be giving you feedback. So it's important that you are prepared to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And just how heavy words can be. I mean, your responsibility, yep, as the CEO of all these different organizations and as a husband and a father, I mean, you need to be so aware.
Yep. And it's a bigger responsibility, right? Yeah. Like, when I say something, it has the power to, like, completely send someone in the wrong direction or the, mm-hmm, right direction. And that's one of the biggest things that I learned early on is, like, when I tell someone to do something, they have a natural tendency to drop everything else and do that. And so I was getting a lot of, well, Justin said, you know, in the feedback that I was hearing, like, did you know this person, like, just completely bulldozed, like, three other people's projects because you told them something? And I shared something like, hey, this would be a great idea. We should check it. You know, we should look into that. So I think you really have to be conscious of the, you know, the ability, both for good and bad, of, you know, language and so on. So that's been one of the big areas that I've had to get better on, just in terms of, like, setting prioritization, setting expectations, setting, you know, the understanding that, hey, if you feel you've got the time for this, or if this is a good idea, let's go through the proper channels. Let's make sure that everyone's comfortable with it. And then let's execute, rather than kind of creating the, you know, the cluster that can become kind of just someone charging out of my office and saying, like, oh, we have to do this thing. We talked about it, like, nothing else matters. That creates a lot of confusion.
Yeah, got it. Well, Justin, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
Difference-making tips. The biggest difference, certainly in my life, and I really do coach this in my team as well, is to access and surround yourself with people that probably you wouldn't naturally get exposure to, right? Like, whether that's, you know, I hate to say networking groups because those are kind of so, can be so blasé. But really intentionally seeking out mentors and trying to get into other circles where people are thinking differently. They're, you know, maybe they're doing the types of things you wish you were doing. You know, every single one of my employees, at some point, I've suggested that they go out and, you know, hey, I really think you should have a conversation with this person, or, you know, who's your mentor at this point? If you don't have one, how can we set one of those up? Thinking differently and just the different mindset that's brought to my life, I can say without a doubt has made the biggest difference for me. If I just would have kind of kept coasting along in the same friend circles and the same environments that you know I naturally kind of came out of as an adolescent, I have zero doubt that I would not be where I am today. And it's also my path for continuing to grow as well, just trying to get access to different types of people, hear what they've got going on, and you know, there's probably a place for me in some of those conversations.
Well, that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on.
Come on.
And probably more important today than it ever has been. So amen to that. Well, Justin, thank you so much for coming out. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you? How can they get involved with you?
Yeah, so you can always check out my primary day job over at leadmd.com. Hit me up on Twitter. I'm at jgraymatter. LinkedIn, big for me as well. But if you want to strike up a conversation, there's no better way than just good old-fashioned email, jgray@leadmd.com.
Perfect. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Justin your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to leadmd.com. Follow him on Twitter, on LinkedIn, and also shoot him an email, and I'll list all those in the notes of the show. Thank you again, Justin.
George, thanks so much.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because we are all in this together.
Come on!
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com, SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.